Turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 8, Luke chapter 2, verse 8. Luke chapter 2, verse 8, and I want us to read that verse and down through verse 20. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. And there were shepherds. Now, before I continue, you need to understand that these were not the upper echelon. They were not the cream of the crop in culture in their day. They were kind of outcasts. They were sort of kind of the homeless. They weren't the favorite kind of people. In fact, their testimony, because they weren't trusted, wasn't even allowed in the courtroom. They weren't allowed to bear witness or to bear testimony on behalf of another person. These weren't the cream of the crop. There were brighter crayons in the box, so to speak. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. They would sometimes come together, a group of shepherds with their various flocks, and share during the night watching over the various flocks, but one big flock, and so they could take turns watching over the sheep. Just another normal night. Now, don't miss the next verse, because you can just sort of, well, they were shepherds. Yeah, I know. Shepherds, they keep sheep, and they were hanging out, and they were taking turns through the night watching over the sheep so they could sleep. And an angel appeared. Oh, yeah. What? Don't miss the gravity of verse 9 and how powerful that is. This didn't happen every night for these shepherds. Oh, yeah, we saw one last week. No big deal. They haven't seen angels before. This is new to them as it is to you. But I fear that when we read this story, oh, yeah, we know that. The angels showed up. We sing about them. Understand, these guys are just watching over their sheep another quiet night. And boom, there's an angel there. Where did you come from? I'm looking for an exit. I didn't see you there a minute ago. How did you get here? Who are you? And there was something about the presence of this angel that struck fear in the hearts of these shepherds. He appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord. Now, what did that look like? Was it bright? Was the place just illuminated after it had been dark for so long? Have you done that before? In our bathroom, we have lights over the mirror. I think there are 35 of them. Actually, not quite that many. And in the middle of the night, if you walk into that bathroom and turn that light on, you will fall over backwards. Poof. Was that what it was like for these shepherds, kind of dark, out under the stars, pupils dilated, and boom, there's this glory of the Lord with this angel present in their midst? There was something rather terrifying about what they saw, something that I think they had never seen before. Verse 10, but the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." Sound familiar? You hear that repeatedly in the first two chapters of Luke when the angel Gabriel shows up. When the angels show up here, there's this fear because they're encountering something unknown to them. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news. Now, stop right there, because to me, that's the heart of this passage. Good news. What's good news? Tuesday morning, you open that exact gift that you had hoped to get. Good news is that you waited till the last minute to do your Christmas shopping, and you go in hopes that there'll be the one item you're looking for on Christmas Eve, and it's there. And good news is it's been reduced. It's on clearance now. Don't bet on it. Is that good news? Good news that the family travels here and everybody's safe and you're all together. Is that good news? Good news, you're not going to kill us. This angel shows up, and is that the good news? What's the good news? The evangel, the proclamation of good news, of great joy that will be for all people, all kinds of people. today, here it is. Don't miss it. This is the good news. This is what Luke wants you to know. Today, today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. I'm not sure, I'm not convinced these were your stereotypical shepherds. I think these shepherds had a clue. I think somewhere along the line they had been educated. I think they had something, they had a hook to hang this truth on. I think they had some idea that the Messiah was coming. Maybe they were believers. Maybe they believed the Word of God. Maybe they had been educated in the Word of God. It's unlikely for a shepherd because they were gone for so long, they were unclean and they weren't to be admitted into the temple. But I think by their response, I think by the way that it's told to them, there's evidence here that these guys understood what it was that was being told to them. I'm thinking about some shepherds that would be clueless out there in the sky, and this angel shows up and says, a Messiah, a Savior. It's like, what? So? Unless there was some frame of reference for them to understand what this angel was saying. And so I think they had some clue anyway. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be the sign to you. You will find him wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. How will we find this baby? Well, this is the sign. This is how you'll know it is him. And suddenly, just as suddenly as an angel appeared, suddenly there's a whole bunch of them. God is gracious. Can you imagine if he had shown the whole group of them at one time to them? They might have had a heart attack right there on the spot. He graciously brings one with the message, and then there's a whole host of them. Great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Note the order there, which is kind of interesting. God first, when he is glorified, there will be peace. If he's not glorified, there won't be peace. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, do you see that? That's not what they said, is it? I marvel at this. This is what someone has called the first Christmas rush. This is it. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Let's go. Let's find out." Now, if there wasn't a measure of faith with those men, why on earth would they leave their sheep and go? Now, maybe they made, you know, Bubba stay behind with the sheep. I don't know. But they left those sheep to go see the Lamb of God. Why would you take it on a whim if there wasn't a measure of faith in what that person, that angel, said to you? But they believed him. And they go to Bethlehem. So they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. Okay, guys, we were out in the... You're not going to believe this. Can you imagine? You're not going to believe this. We were just doing the sheep thing like we always do. And all of a sudden there was this angel. Guys, what were you smoking? No, for real. We were out there and it was just a regular night and all of a sudden there was this angel. And he told us, you know, he said this was what happened. He said there was a Savior. And this is the baby. He said this would be the sign. He said he would be in a manger. How many babies in Bethlehem are in a manger? In a feeding trough. This is him. This is the one. Wow, he told you that? Yes, why else would we shepherds come in here now? Why would we come looking for a baby in a manger? That doesn't make sense. They're all at the hospital in a crib. They're not in a feeding trough. And yet they found the one that the angel told them about. Verse 18, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Watch this. This is a mother. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Mary's got an open file about her son. And she's adding data because the angel told her about her son who was to come. And now he's come. She's got some information from her relative Elizabeth. She's got some information from the angel who came. And now she's got these shepherds out of nowhere who are talking stuff about an angel showing up to them. And Mary's just mulling this over in her mind. This is my son. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Do you think those shepherds were ever the same? Let's pray as we look at God's word together. Father, before us is an amazing story. Protect us from being ho-hum about it. This is good news of great joy. Enlighten us, Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, "Do you hear what I hear? Ringing through the sky, shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? A song high above the tree, with a voice as big as the sea." With a voice as big as the sea. I read these words this week. The Word, John 1, coming as a speechless baby. And I haven't been able to leave that thought. The Word, God in human flesh, John rightly points out that he comes as the Word to communicate to us the Father. He is the truth. This Word came to communicate to us, but he came as a speechless baby. What did this silent word say? What did the silent word of God as a speechless baby say? First of all, he said, "I am available." He came to shepherds, after all, in a secluded, hopeless world, living among sheep, separated sort of, kind of, from the rest of civilized society. They weren't the favorite choice of company. They had a bad reputation. They got the words "thine" and "mine" confused, so it is written. And they were considered thieves. Now, if you were God and you were going to make one announcement with your angels about the coming of Christ, where would you make that announcement? To the priests? Someone said it wasn't to scribes keeping watch over their scrolls at night. And it wasn't. It was to shepherds. And I think what that baby was saying as he laid there silently in the manger is, "I am available, not just to the cream of the crop, but I am available even to shepherds keeping watch over their flock by night." The sign was the manger. Isaiah wrote years before the coming of Christ in chapter 57 and verse 15, "For this is what the High and Lofty One says, he who lives forever, whose name is holy, I live in a high and holy place, but also with him who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly, and to revive the heart of the contrite." Isaiah 61, he writes in that chapter, the first verse, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners." You may be thinking that God doesn't even know you exist. He's not interested in me or my life. And if he were, if he does know I exist, he's probably mad at me anyway. Can I tell you that you are not insignificant to Emmanuel? God came and proclaimed good news of the Savior to shepherds. Don't miss what he's saying in his silence. Heaven chooses to bring a message to the messed up. And he says, I am available. He avails himself to humanity. He offers himself on our behalf. And the second thing he says is, I am humble, lowly. Everything about this birth, from the location in Bethlehem to the mother who's chosen to give birth to him, to the shepherds that get the message from the angels, to the manger in which he lay, says, I am humble. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 8:9 and said, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. And then, of course, you can go to Philippians chapter 2, where Paul encourages, challenges us to have the same attitude of Christ Jesus, who, although he was God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but in essence let go and became a man. Humbled himself to the point of death, even a condemned death on a cross. This silent baby speaks loudly and clearly. And he says to you and to me, I am available. And he says to you and to me, I am humble. And thirdly, he says, I am going to speak through you. He spoke through his angels. He spoke through his disciples. He even spoke through those shepherds. Did you catch that? What happened? How did evangelism take place in this story? They came after being drawn by God himself through an angel, told the message. They went and discovered Christ for themselves. They took 3 years off of shepherding and went to seminary, and then they went and told a few people what they had studied. Is that what it says? All they did is, this angel showed up, told me about Jesus. We went, and there he was, just like he said. The sign was true. It's exactly like he said it was. And I fear that at times we make it too complicated. I don't have all the answers. And trust me, Satan loves that little line. And he taps you on the shoulder and says, they might ask a question you don't know the answer to. So you better not say anything about Jesus. So what if you don't know the answer? He does. Do you think he can figure it out? Do you think he can help you with it? Do you think he can, through his word, lead you to the place where you can answer that question, or to the person who might help you through the word answer the question? But don't let ignorance be an excuse. They met Christ and they told others about him. And other people marveled at what they said. He spoke through the angels. He spoke through the shepherds. He spoke through his disciples. In fact, Luke wrote in Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You don't have a secret. You have good news of great joy. It's been proclaimed to you and me. So what do I want you to do with what you heard this Jesus telling you? The first thing I want you to do is to think about it. I'm struck by Mary's response, treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. It's as though she has a little treasure chest, and she just keeps dumping in that treasure chest those thoughts. you ever go back through a diary or back through old letters? That's sort of what I see Mary doing, thinking back through the comments that she heard about her son. I want to challenge you to take the next step. It's Christmas morning, and your family is gathered around the tree. There's a certain level of chaos that comes with that gathering. Dad, I want you to bring quiet. And I don't want you just to read the Christmas story and check it off your list. I want you to ponder it, as did Mary. Mom, interact with your children. Children, interact with your family. And ponder with Mary what it means that Christ came to earth. Read the story, yes. Ponder the story, yes. Ask this question: what would this world look like if he hadn't come? What difference does it make that Christ came? What difference does the good news make in your life and my life today? Ponder it. Think through who Jesus is and what he did. Believe on him, as did the shepherds. Think about it, first of all. Second thing I want you to do is to worship him. I would have loved to have been there. I just have this mental picture of what these shepherds were like, manly men, probably carried with them an odor that might not be well received. And there are these guys, and there's this baby in a feeding trough, and they're overjoyed with his presence. Do you have that scene in your mind? Sing around the tree. After you ponder what Christ has done, take some time as a family to sing together. Don't tell me you can't do it. I watched Dow Sr. singing to the littlest of the Dows, little Charlie, just as we were worshiping a little bit ago. You can do it at home. I don't have a good voice. So, sing to the Lord. As a family, gather around that tree and pray and adore your Christ. Thank him for what he has done. For who he is, adore him. Can I ask you a question? Do you enjoy Jesus? Or do you just tolerate him? Do you know who he is? Do you know why he came? Do you know what he's doing there? Do you hear what he's saying as he silently lies there in that feeding trough? Someone has said that we worship our work, we work at our play, and we play at our worship. May it not be true. Think about it. Worship Jesus. And finally, tell somebody. Stop worrying about offending somebody. I have found more people, I think that there are plenty of timid people in this world, and you come in and out of a store, and you hear these words, Happy Holidays, and what I have observed when I say to people, Merry Christmas, they tend to light, it's like somebody took a load off their back, and they go, Merry Christmas to you. It's almost like, oh, you really believe about, don't you? Don't be afraid to, it's good news of great joy. It's what the world needs to hear, whether they know it or not. You have the keys of eternal life. You have the good news about Jesus. Tell somebody about it. Most of you know that we have a little terrier. Half toy fox, half rat terrier. He's not the brightest little dog in the world. You can ring the front doorbell and he barks. That's the one thing that he barks at, is the doorbell. And we repeatedly send him out the back door and he thinks that's, you know, he's going to attack whoever's at the front door. He does this repeatedly. We can always open the back door and he goes out. And so whoever's at the front door is safe. He's not an attack dog. He's friendly. But Zach loves squirrels. If you say the word squirrel, his ears perk up, his body grows tense, his tail comes up, and he's ready. He doesn't know where it is. He assumes it's in the backyard, and I think they come over and just sit in the tree and laugh at him. He's never caught one, and I don't think it would be wise if he ever did. But I can say squirrel, I don't know how many times a day, open the back door, and he will dart out into the pine straw looking for a squirrel. Now, you would think that would get old with him. You would think that after a while he would put it together in his head, I'm not going to catch one of those little gray fur balls, so what's the big deal about squirrels? And he would get bored with it, and that would not be exciting to him anymore. But that's far from the truth, and come over to the house, I'll show you what I'm talking about. The little dude gets excited when you say the word squirrel. You know, that's the kind of excitement I want to have when I hear about the birth of my Savior. But do we ever just kind of... I've heard that story. I can't tell you the times I've read Luke 2. And so we're just kind of lackadaisical. Is that even a temptation for you? To get lost in all the stuff? And all the trimmings? Or do you get excited? Do you hear what I hear? Pray with me. Lord Jesus, we want to think on the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us, that we might see the glory of the Father. We want to hear this speechless little baby as he communicates loudly and clearly, I am available. I am humble. And I will speak through you the good news of great joy. Lord Jesus, may we receive that message, meditate on it. May we worship you. May we get excited whenever we think of the Christmas story, the good news of great joy. So excited, Father, that we don't have to force ourselves to tell anybody, but we can't help it. We can't stop ourselves from telling the good news of great joy. Give us ears to hear, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. Amen.